When St. Augustine was asked about the Trinity, which feast we celebrate today, St. Augustine said, "If you ask me, I don't know. If you don't ask me, I know." And that may seem ambiguous, but what he's getting at is that there are just some things that can't easily be put into words. We just have to reverence the mystery. And much as we try to describe it, words will fail us. One of the Desert Fathers spoke like this. He said, "Those who say do not know, those who do not know say." Now the students were concerned and didn't understand this saying, and so he said to them, "How many of you know the smell of a rose?" And everybody raised their hand. He said, "Put it into words." And everyone remained silent. You see that language doesn't always help, does it? Could you, if you tried, put the smell of a rose into words? It's a mystery beyond words. And when we talk about the Trinity, here too, we have to try to use some words. But those words fail us ultimately. Now some people think they've got the Trinity figured out. Well, after all, God the Father is one third of God. Jesus is one third of God. And the Holy Spirit is the other third of God. Well, brothers and sisters, that's not a mystery. That's math. Now, some people say math is a mystery. That is not the teaching of the Trinity. The teaching of the Trinity is that there is only one God, one divine nature, one divine substance, but all three of the persons share that one divine nature completely. Let me try to illustrate. Let's say there was only one glass of water in the whole universe, and three of us show up. I take that glass and I drink it fully. Now you say, there is nothing left over for me. But mysteriously, you are able to drink the same glass of water. And a third person drinks that same glass of water. Our mind says that once I have something completely, you can't have any of it. But with God, there's only one divine nature, one divine substance. But the Father has it completely. The Son has it completely. The Holy Spirit has it completely. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says of Jesus that in Him the fullness of divinity dwells. Now, that seems to leave nothing left over for the Father or the Spirit. And yet, in the Father is the fullness of the divinity, and in the Holy Spirit. How can three persons partake of one thing completely? It's a mystery. It is not our experience. It is beyond our mind and our experience. The Catechism says that the Trinity is one. For we do not confess three gods, but one God in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The divine persons do not share the one divinity among themselves, but each of them is God, whole and entire. Jesus is God. The Father is God. Not part of God, not one third of God, not a little bit of God, but the Father is God whole and entire. Jesus is God whole and entire. The Holy Spirit is God whole and entire. One final way to maybe illustrate the mystery. This paper that I'm holding up is white. But do you know that mysteriously in this color white, there are actually three colors present? When I was in science class back in high school, we did a little experiment. We took three slide projectors, and one of them projected the color red. The other projected the color yellow. And the other projected the color blue. The three primary colors. And as the three circles came together, mysteriously, this was the color that appeared. Mysteriously, three colors in this one color. Now, don't try it with paint or food coloring. You know, someone went home one time and tried it with food coloring, and all you get is a gray glop. All right? It only works with light. You have to use it with light. Now, brothers and sisters, although that helps to illustrate the mystery, it doesn't really explain the Trinity, because you don't mix God together. But nevertheless, you see the vision. There are mysteries beyond what our eyes can see. And today, we simply reverence the mystery of God. Now, I think that an old spiritual comes to mind here. My God, He's so high, you can't get over Him. He's so low, you can't get under Him. He's so wide, you can't get round Him. You must come in by and through the Lamb. Don't try to reduce God to someone or something you can understand. God is big, church. God is very big. Amen. And in the end, this is what we confess today, that God is beyond what words can tell. One other final Desert Father story that comes to mind. One of the Desert Fathers, Abba Moses, stood up and said, "Every word about God is more a distortion than a description." But one of the students said, "But teacher, when you speak about God, you use words." At that, the teacher laughed uproariously, and he said, "When I speak about God, don't listen so much to the words. Listen to the silence between the words. For the silence says more than the words do. Be still. Understand and know that I am God." Now, this teaching of the Trinity has many biblical roots. I can't go through all of them. But you know, I find some of the most interesting biblical teachings about the Trinity in the Old Testament. And I'd like to share a few of them with you. At the very beginning of the Scriptures, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God says this, "Let us make man in our image." Not, "Let me make man in my image," but rather, "Let us make man in our image." Already suggesting to you and to me that in God, there is not simply an I, but a we. Not simply a single person, but a community of persons. God speaks to Himself in the plural. Let us make man in our image. One of the most fascinating passages in the book of Genesis where God appears is in Genesis chapter 18. And in Genesis 18, the Lord appears to Abraham. The Lord appears to him, And it's interesting the way the Lord appears to him. Let me read to you from Genesis 18. It says, "The Lord," singular, "the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as Abram sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And as Abram lifted up his eyes, behold, three men stood before him." Now wait a minute, this text is confused. It said, "The Lord appeared," and then all of a sudden, three men. Well, church, come on now. Even in the Old Testament, we're starting to learn that there is more to God than just himself. So again, let me begin this text again. "The Lord appeared to Abram by the oaks of Mamre as Abram sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And as Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men stood in front of him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent and went to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said to them," plural, "my Lord," singular. Is this bad grammar? Abram, when three men appear before you, you don't say, "my Lord," you say, "my Lords," with an S. But that's not what Abram said. So Abram runs to these three men and bows down and says, "my Lord," singular, "if I have found favor in your sight," but the "you" here is plural, "if I found favor in y'all's sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought so that y'all may wash your feet and rest yourselves," plural, "under the tree." And so on it goes. When you see the vision here, Abram speaks to them in the singular, or speaks to them by title, Lord, but addresses them in the plural. The Lord, singular, appears before Abram, but behold, three men stand before him. A strange text, isn't it? But what did I just tell you? When God appears, you just can't reduce it to words. Singular, plural, the Lord, three men. What is it? Shh, don't say too much. That's something for me to say in a pulpit up here, right? In Isaiah chapter 6, the angels praise God. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God of hosts." I believe we may hear the choir sing later today in Latin, "Sanctus, sanctus, sanctus, Dominus Deus Sabaoth." Holy, not just holy is the Lord, but holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Likewise, in today's passage from Exodus, did you hear God speak his name as he passed before Moses? Did you pay close attention? Let me read it again. "Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses and proclaimed his name. The Lord," he said as he passed by him, "the Lord, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity." How does God call his name? The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Three times. You say, "Well, this is all interesting. It's all just coincidental. It doesn't really mean anything." But do you begin to see how the evidence mounts? That even in the Old Testament, there was some understanding and appreciation as God revealed himself that he was not simply God the Father all by himself. "Let us make man in our image." Behold, three men stood before Abraham. God announces his name, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Already, even before Jesus reveals to us that the Father and He are one and that they will send their Holy Spirit, even before any of that, God announces Himself in the plural. So brothers and sisters, He comes then toward Jesus, simply says, to have seen Me is to have seen the Father. The Father and I are one. He goes on to say that the Father and I will send the Holy Spirit. He will clarify Me. He will glorify Me. He will remind you of everything that I have said. For everything He has from the Father. And so again, this teaching, go therefore and to all the nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And again, brothers and sisters, do you hear the grammatical error in that? Do you know that every time we make the sign of the cross, that we commit a grammatical error? In the name, singular, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If it were grammatically correct, it should be in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that is not what we say, and that is not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, baptize them in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I've gone on too long this morning. I want to say more about the Trinity, but let me try to wrap it up. We talked about some of the mysterious teaching about the Trinity, a little bit about some scriptural roots of the Trinity. The final thing I want to say to you is, how do we experience the Trinity? Don't you know that we were made in the image and likeness of God? And if it's true that God's image is in us, then shouldn't we also find within ourselves some images of the Trinity? First of all, you are a unique individual. Just like each of the persons of the Blessed Trinity, the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Father, neither of them is the Holy Spirit. They are unique persons, unique individual persons, and so are you. But do you also see that you're not all by yourself? Can someone say amen? You are not all by yourself. You exist, but only because your parents existed before you. You exist, but you're not just by yourself. You're in relationship with others. You're a son or a daughter, a husband or a wife, a brother or a sister. You are a co-worker. You're a friend of someone. You're a parishioner. Everything that I can begin to say about you, most of it refers to the fact that you're in relationship with others. Someone might say, I'm a self-made man. I did it all by myself.
Oh, really? You caused yourself to be born, did you?
Well, you know, after that. You taught yourself to speak? To walk? To talk? Well, after that. Now I'm a self-made man. I run my own business. I'm an entrepreneur.
Oh, really? Well, how do you make money?
I sell products.
Oh, then you must have customers.
So much for the self-made man. All of us are in relationship with each other. I need you. You need me. We're all part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. I would not exist if it were not for others. Neither would you. I could not flourish or thrive or do anything that I do if it wasn't for every one of you. Supporting, encouraging me, praying for me,
This parish would not exist if we weren't all together. So, brothers and sisters, we are individuals, but we are called to live in communion with one another. Do you want to know what the best image of the Trinity is? It is not a man alone. It is not a woman alone. The text from Genesis says, "Let us make man in our image. Male and female, he created them." You want to know what the best image of the Trinity is? Not a man alone, not a woman alone, but a man and a woman in a fruitful bond called marriage. Now please understand, the Trinity is not male, is not female. God is beyond gender. He reveals himself to us as Father. There's reason for that I can't develop this morning. Jesus is Son. The Holy Spirit is also referred to as He. In relationship to God, all creation is feminine. He is Father. But within itself, the Trinity is pure Spirit. And the Father loves the Son. And the Son loves the Father. The first person of the Trinity loves the second person of the Trinity. And so profound is their love that it literally bears fruit in the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so in our human situation, a man loves a woman loves a man. And so powerful is their love that it literally bears fruit in their children. Their children are the fruit of their love. The communion of persons we call marriage, fruitfully bearing fruit in children, is the best image of the Trinity. Not a man alone, not a woman alone, but a man and a woman in a fruitful marital relationship. That is the best image of the Trinity. Well, I need to end. All God says to us is, now look, don't say too much more about this. Just be quiet. Just experience. And my God, He's so high, you can't get over Him. He's so low, you can't get under Him. He's so wide, you can't get round Him. Just come in by and through the Lamb. Amen.